Fox show host Rick Emerson asked his listeners why they should care enough to vote.
You know, like you said, freedom isn't free. And, you know, if it costs a stamp, that's a small price to pay.
People will say, aha, an election is coming up. They'll get the telegraph from the election process. They'll start paying attention, and that by itself will simply raise voter turnout.
If it doesn't, then these comments of Rick Emerson's radio listeners will ring true in November.
And the only way to really make a change anymore, I believe, is to band together and vote with our rifle.
And 13 seconds after the hour of 11 in this the month of October in the year of our Lord 2006. Thank you for coming by, making a part of your listening day. We are live once again from they're not really that plushly appointed.
We've seen plushly appointed.
Really? That's really what it is. I didn't realize the rest of this window was so dirty until I cleaned this one tiny spot. Well, but on the other side, they are covered in dust. Studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. Thank you for coming by, making a part of your listening day. It's the Rick Emerson radio program here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. It is Friday, and welcome to day 12. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. If you'd like to be part of today's program in any way, shape, manner, fashion, or form, you can also email if you like. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. All right. I was saying the other day when we were over in the movie studios, I did sort of feel like Morgan Freeman in The Shawshank Redemption, where this room just feels so big. And I should say, considering it is stealing a pocket watch, they'll send me back to stir. You know, I didn't what is it? He does that whole thing about pretty soon you need these walls. I didn't really realize exactly how attached we'd grown to the studio until we were out of here for the last couple of days. And Tim really nailed it, too, when he was being over the studios at First Avenue, and he didn't say, with the exception of that first hour on Wednesday, it probably didn't sound a whole lot to everybody else, different to everybody else at home, but it really was just, it was a strange feeling to be over there for the last couple of days. Not bad.
No.
Just weird. I mean, it was sort of like,
spacious and modern.
It's nothing we were used to at all.
It's like the penthouse, and now we're back in St. John's again. Not that that's a bad thing.
No,
it's as comfortable as an old shoe, and about that size.
we're really not that cosmopolitan. Anywho. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Jam-packed, action-packed show today.
Coffee's more plentiful here.
It really is. And the coffee over there is bad. I gotta say that. Now they're not, I'm not there anymore. We can make this observation. Now that we're out of that building and we have to be polite to anybody until next Thursday when we're back there again for Lycus, I gotta tell you, the coffee over there is... it's ass. It's really... and that is the saving grace here of broadcasting in the coin towers. The coffee here is fantastic because it is freshly ground. And, you know, for a long time I complained about the coffee here because it was always gone, and it was always being stolen, and it ended up on Starbucks, and it tasted all stale and whatnot. We got this thing. I don't even know who makes this. Whole ground, whole earth? The whole earth is a catalog. Well, whatever.
That's an expensive grocery store.
We have this thing in the kitchen. I really ought to take a photo with this. I have to, as much as I knock radio and as much as we were talking about the dude, radio's run by a bunch of skinflints, I gotta say, we have this device in the kitchen that just holds, I mean, pounds and pounds and pounds of whole fresh coffee beans. And then you press a button and it automatically grinds it, prepares it, and it's all ready to roll.
It really is great.
So in any event, so we're back here. A World Cup, thank you. Really? It's the name of World Cup? Okay. World Cup Coffee. Thank you, World Cup Coffee. Bok, bok. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. So freshly caffeinated and returned to our studios here in the Coin Tower. That's the other thing is we can tell people we work. You don't have to tell them exactly where. Like, you don't have to point out that it's just one step above the Quiznos. But you can point, like, Laura brought me to work today.
Long story short, I bicycled to work yesterday, but it's like, and Sarah knows this pain sometimes. You know who I, what I didn't know is, I didn't know that Court from Court and Fat Boy, he bicycles as well. Because sometimes you just feel like a loser. You know what I mean? As much as you really ought to feel like a winner, as much as you really ought to feel like one of the Hepcats bicycling to work, because it's environmentally sound and you're getting exercise. And
you're making Al Gore happy.
You have to pay, you know what I mean? Yeah, you're making a positive impact in the world. Sometimes you just feel like a tool, because you walk in, you're all covered in sweat, bathed in a sheen of your own bodily fluids.
But those polar bears will have a place to swim, thanks to you.
Penguins will run happily. You bicycle hat on, your helmet, you look all bad. So it's always good to run into somebody else who does that. But as great as bicycling to work really is in a lot of ways, there's some nights where it's like at the end of the day, especially, you know, because I stay a little longer after the show. We get up here at 3, and I go home between 6 and 7 usually. And sometimes you look outside, and it's raining, or it's dark, or it's windy, or you've just had a really long, goddamned afternoon. And just the idea of having to get on your bicycle and pedal like 10 miles home, you just want to weep. You just want to cry and break things. And so I just called Laura last night. I'm like, I cannot bicycle home. You have to get in the car. You have to come pick me up. I'll pay for dinner. I'll do whatever I have to do. I can't bicycle home. So she came to pick me up last night. And then, what was my point here?
You're doing something for the environment.
Doing something for the environment, except for last night when she came to pick me up in our automobile, which spews exhaust and carbon monoxide into the air. And then also this morning when she dropped me off at work. But we were driving across the Ross Island Bridge this morning into Portland. And it's just the most beautiful city. I mean, it really is. You come across, like, especially at night, in the early morning, you see the downtown Portland horizon. You know, the buildings are all lit up and everything. The coin tower was enshrouded in mist, like it was right in the depths of Mordor today. It was really, really beautiful. You don't have to tell people that you work on one, that we essentially work on what is the sidewalk of the coin tower. You know, just point to it and just gesture. Just say, that's where I work. And just sort of let them believe that you work higher up. It's 503-733-2970. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Now I know exactly where we are. There's no doubting what studio we're in. You missed a fantastic... Was it this morning that you were going on about being a... It was yesterday, about being a deaf person?
Yeah, because Jeremy was saying that he could hear my headphones all the way across the studio. Yeah. And then Tim put them on and he said that he couldn't hear anything out of them.
See, so you are kind of the... it's like that cartoon you'll see of Neanderthal Man where he starts as like a hunched over, you know, guy carrying a spear. And then eventually, like at the end of the line, it's like a guy with, you know, it's like a guy with a briefcase. Like the evolution of man. You are sort of at the beginning right now because you're just starting to go deaf. Like your hearing isn't perfect. You're just starting to lose it. And then I'm in the middle somewhere, and then Clyde and Tim are sort of towards the end where they're just a bunch of guys who talk like this because they can't hear anything at all. Mailman Chris, official stenographer. Hello, sir. How are you today?
I am doing great.
All right. Fantastic. All right. Here's what we got. Speaking of Clyde Lewis.
You need to get a new phone, Chris. You're always so crunchy sounding.
And by the way, thanks for screwing us up on Wednesday, because we thought it was the Zephyr, or whatever this device is that was carrying our phone conversations from this building to the First Avenue building, back to here into the transmitter. And we thought all the equipment was just going belly up, and it turns out that you just got like a 99-cent cell phone. and not only that, but all of our phone conversations, and apparently it didn't sound this way over here, but all of our phone conversations, there was like a second and a half lag time between us and everybody, just enough so that we were stepping all over each other. None of the phone calls ran smoothly, and it sounded like every phone call I was taking was coming right out of like downtown Jalalabad. So,
and that's all because I hung.
It's all your fault. Feel shame. All right. Hey, speaking of Clyde Lewis, Clyde's going to be in later on today. Clyde Lewis will be joining us at the 1 o'clock hour. He's got some Halloween event to pimp where he says boo a lot and grabs at your girlfriend's bosoms. So he'll be doing that, not the grabbing part. That'll be next week. But he'll be in today to talk about that, and he'll be bringing Clyde Lewis Presents the 5 Scariest Songs of the Halloween Season. So Clyde Lewis will be doing a special top 5 later on today. We'll be talking to John Monteverde. Who is that? I don't really know. But I do understand that he is directing a stage presentation of Night of the Living Dead in Beaverton, of all places. I don't really know anything about it. I just got like a thing in the mail. Would you like to come see Night of the Living Dead done as a stage play? Would I ever?
So it just seems like a natural.
So it's an off-Broadway type of thing.
Yes, yes. It's kind of one of your typical off-Broadway, pale-skinned, brain-eating productions in Beaverton. So it's not going to be a long interview, but I do want to kind of know a little bit about it. So later on, right at the top of the 1 o'clock hour, I think, we're going to talk to that guy. He's directing Night of the Living Dead, as put on by, it's one of those, like, the Blue Iguana Theater Company. Like, one of those theater companies, like, four guys, you know, and like, you know, some chick who doubles as the cookie salesperson out front. So, we got that. What else? Geek Watch coming up today. Also, I keep wanting to say Nicole Simpson. It's so awkward.
She's a dead one, isn't she?
Yeah, I believe so. I was going to say that Nicole Simpson just won't eat a goddamn sandwich, and I suppose that is also technically true at this point.
Is there concern that she's not eating?
Nicole Simpson?
Yes.
Probably not.
The plus side, I think other things are eating her at this point.
See, I wasn't gonna go that way. I was just gonna say that she is, though.
I thought that's what the door was open for. So.
Thank you. Bada-bing. No, I was just gonna say about Nicole Simpson that she is thinner than ever. The irony's still not as thin as Nicole Richie. So we'll talk about Nicole Richie, who, I swear to God, this is the story, receives treatment to gain weight. So they've now just locked her in a booby hatch somewhere where they're just going to shove the pastries into her face 24 hours a day. So we've got that. We have more tickets to House of Midnight. Sarah went to House of Midnight last night.
I did.
Ooh, was it spooky?
Was it spooktacular?
Six of us went into the first one. Four of us went into the second one.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Which one did you start with?
We started with the Forest of Fear.
Yeah, I thought that was the Forest.
Dude, that was just messed up. I'll talk about it later.
That's what I like.
It was pretty freaky.
You and your friends ought to do some spinoff at Sabala's called Forest of Beers.
Oh. No, it looks unintimidating.
I love that. Just the mocking derisive faux laugh.
It's so authentic, though, because you walk in, you look at it, you're like, oh, it's just a tent. It's not that scary. And then you walk in, and it's not just a tent. They've made these two little worlds in this tent that are just wrong.
Excellent.
It was wrong.
Fantastic.
Wrong.
Have you ever gone to one of those Pentecostal haunted houses? We walk through and I wish I hadn't had premarital sex. There's a guy being poked by a demon.
No.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I've heard hell about house. Those.
Oh, hell houses? And when Clyde's on later on, Clyde and I have a hell house story. We'll talk about that later on. We do have passes at the House of Midnight.
It is worth the drive. It is, it's so worth the drive.
And it's right there by, is it right in the parking lot, literally,
of
Bullwinkle's?
Yeah, right off of, so it's like 15 minutes south on I-5, and it's just right there. You won't be able to miss it. It's right next to the Family Fun Center, which is creepy in and of itself.
And I know it sounds retarded to say, like, in the parking lot of Bullwinkle's, but that seems like that adds to the weird.
No, the front of it is made up to look like a big old house, and it doesn't look, there aren't like big flashing lights or like spooky noises. It just looks like the front of an old house.
Fantastic.
And it's pretty creepy.
Excellent. So we'll have, now we're not in the Move-In Studios today, although the 80s blood has just gotten to our, the 80s music has gotten to our veins. It's in our blood. We can't leave it behind today. So what we will do today, we'll do this later on this hour, actually, because we have Constantine Wynn at 11:45. Yeah, so like at 11:30, we will do finish that 80s song lyric, in which I will sing you part of an 80s song, and you must then sing the following lyric. And if you can do that, just because after yesterday, I went home all night, and I was like singing Trickster songs to myself and crap, and the only way you can get songs out of your head is to sing them out loud, so you all are going to suffer along with me today. All right. Sarah Dillon?
Yes?
Here's an example of how it goes. I will sing one lyric. You must now follow it. Sing the
following
lyric. Take me home tonight.
I don't want to let you go.
Do you see the
see
night?
The light?
Light?
I didn't see the light. See, there you go. See, you would have won a pair of passes. It's honestly just that easy. We'll do that at the bottom of the hour. We have Jim Roop talking about Big Snoop. What? No, it's right here. I wrote it down. It rhymes. Roop Snoop.
I know. He's with the wildfire.
I know there's a wildfire, and I know it's tragic, and I'm not trying to make light of it. I know
that happens in California all the time.
Okay, and that's the thing. I'm not trying
to
minimize
rich people, so why should we care? They can rebuild tomorrow.
Tim Riley,
ladies and gentlemen. Every time.
The views expressed by Tim Riley are correct.
Poor people are not burned out of their homes. It is people who live in the hills in multi-million dollar mansions.
Poor people can just pick up their homes and move them.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, there you go. And that's all you need know about that. All right, well, that's all coming up. Plus, Scott Daly will be here later on in the 2 o'clock hour. So there you go, my friend. That's kind of what we're going to do today.
Jim Roop, Scott Daly, Clyde Lewis with the top 5 scary songs. John Amantaverde?
Sure.
Okay, close enough. With the Living Dead, Night of the Living Dead play.
Yes.
Geek Watch, Nicole Richie, and House of Midnight Tickets.
That is what I'm talking about, my friend. And we're what, at 47?
48.
48. Close 48. Enough for jazz.
Hey,
all right.
I got to say this. You know that I'm still back and forth with Boba Fett with these damn celebrity blenders.
Can I just, my email, let me just tell you this. And they've never quit coming in. I've just quit putting them on the air. That's the thing. It's like the hordes are still at the door. I've just closed it. Ever since we started this, which was what, like 4 days ago or something? It was like Monday or Tuesday? I mean, it was many, many, many days ago. And then every day I come in, doesn't matter what we do, I could come on here and I could juggle chainsaws while curing cancer and writing a novel with my toes. But people will be like, I have one. Somebody will call in and say, like, Elton John Stamos, you know, that'll be what's waiting for me. So, all right, would you like to share your latest ones with us?
Can I just sign off as Andrew WKRP in Cincinnati?
All right, thank you. Thank you. There you go. All right. Are you not going to share the one you sent me yesterday afternoon? I know you want to.
What was that? That's been a lot.
Aren't you?
OBGYN Kenobi?
Yeah, thank you. There you go. OBGYN Kenobi. All right, there's Mailman Chris, ladies and gentlemen. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. See how people are giving themselves their names. Theater Geek Harold?
That's me.
Hi there. Hello, sir.
Hey. So, information on John Monteverdi.
Uh-huh.
He used to be the artistic director of Northwest Children's Theater and now has formed his own company, the Blue Monkey Theater Company.
Okay.
You really wanted to know that, didn't you?
I really did. It was really bothering me. It wasn't.
Yeah, it was just hanging over your head like a dark cloud.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. And so he's doing the Night of the Living. Do you know what theater it's at? I imagine he'll tell me later on. Never mind. I asked.
No, but they've done this before, actually, at Northwest Children's Theater.
Well, somebody told me that because this is a new trend in America. Actually, this is one of those. This is one of those things that never used to happen, and now it happens all the time with regularity, where people take things that were never meant to be stage plays, and then they turn them into stage plays. And I'm not talking about like Young Frankenstein. Like there's that Silence of the Lambs musical, which is now a stage play. There is Cannibal. Yeah, do you not know of Silence the musical?
Incredibly twisted.
You just stick around. Don't go anywhere. You stick by your radio. In about 7 minutes, we'll give you a little treat then. So you got to be, don't go. That's a guarantee. That's how you guarantees. All right. So, okay, thank you. That's Harold. There's Silence the Musical. There's Cannibal the Musical, which is fantastic. Because Cannibal the Musical is one of the greatest musicals ever made, period, already, anyway. So there's that. And then there's now the Night of the Living Dead, the musical. Somebody told me they're working on an Office-based musical.
Oh.
So I'm saying, we're living in a golden era for American theater. All right, so we'll do that later on. We're here with the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon and so forth and whatnot and the hey-hey and the whatnot. So you give House of Midnight thumbs up.
Yeah.
Who was it that went fine? It was you and who?
Kiki?
Kiki didn't go. She was working last night. It was me, Lisa J., Corey, Amanda, and my friend Heather. Oh. Heather's in town this weekend.
Oh, Heather. Why does he sound like a motorboat? Why? Okay, thank you. I don't know anything about that, Sarah.
Okay. Okay.
Heather,
yeah, it was really...
Heather from Canada?
Yeah, she was attached to my back the entire time. She didn't open her eyes through the entire thing. Like, I just had, like, her arms were, like her hands were sticking. I'm not going to give anything away. It's messed up.
With every jolt and scare, did she cling ever tighter to you?
Yeah, yes.
Pressing her supple form up
against me.
Thank you. That's what I want to do.
No, it's really cool. It's not like anything. It's not cheesy.
Well, that's what they said, because I've been to a lot of haunted houses that are just lame. They're just retarded.
It's a lot of, like, things surprising you.
All right.
And from all different angles, from below you, above you, on the sides. It's like a huge maze.
Excellent.
And it takes quite a while to get through.
Did Heather enjoy it? Would she like to go through again? Does she need to be protected the second time as well?
Well, she didn't make it. She was one of the two that didn't make it to the second part.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, so I recommend going to the forest first and then going into the house.
So forest first, house second. And now what is the hatchet? Okay, so it's Forest of Fears and Hatchet House. And so you go into one, then the other.
Outside the hatchet house. So you go through that one, then you come out, and then you go back around and go to the beginning again.
Excellent. All right.
time.
Yeah, Hatchet House, it's all about this family who got butchered up, and it looks, you're inside of it, it feels like you're in a house. It smells like a house, it smells like mothballs, and there's fog everywhere, and there are mirrors and lamps, and it's just weird.
I like what we're saying. All right, Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
Well, for some unknown reason, they had dogs going through the MAX train at Pioneer Courthouse Square this morning, so who knows if they're looking for bombs or...
Oh, sniffing dogs.
The boat.
Like,
yeah, sniffing
like
dogs.
The man's dogs.
Yeah. Yeah, police dogs.
Any word on what they... So there's no... It was somebody attempting to blow up something downtown?
I guess maybe KGW was attempting to do news pictures. Usually that's when that happens, when we get all concerned, because terrorists only enter at Pioneer Courthouse Square.
These dogs are attempting to sniff out Sweeps Week, an exciting new phenomenon we'll tell you about tonight at 11 o'clock.
A genuine piece of Americana. It's the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown 40th anniversary tonight.
Really? I always miss it.
Well, on 8 o'clock. You still have time to pick your T-Bow.
It's the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown, and then Merry Christmas Charlie Brown, or whatever
Charlie
the other
Brown
one is.
Charlie Brown Christmas.
Charlie Brown Christmas. I always... You know the thing about a Charlie Brown Christmas is, you watch that, and don't get me wrong, it really is great. And you're right when you say that it is a piece of Americana. But, you know, kids today would never sit still for that.
No.
You watch...
limited animation.
You watch a Charlie Brown Christmas, like the same three cells cycling over and over again, and just like the same two mouth movements that they just alternate back and forth.
Like a Hanna-Barbera cartoon from the 70s.
Exactly. And then
form of animation.
Is that sequence where this really is a ghetto of animation. The Hanna-Barbera, you know, because that guy from Hanna-Barbera, the guy that created the look for the Flintstones, just died. And, you know, I had a friend of mine who actually was an animator at Hanna-Barbera for a while during the 80s, which is bizarre because I can't even imagine that. What was Hanna-Barbera even doing during the 80s? It's really just the same five properties that they would just recycle.
I mean, their downfall was the 70s.
And just when their target demographic grew a brain, you know, and was able to read. The animation there at Hanna-Barbera was actually so bad. Have you ever noticed this? This is why all male Hanna-Barbera... I'm doing that thing where I'm trying to say three sentences at once today. Why all the male characters in Hanna-Barbera cartoons always wore neckties. Because the Hanna-Barbera animators were so poorly paid. Like, they would just get guys off the street, like Guatemalan immigrants, out of a boxcar somewhere. Can you draw? Hello, okay. You know, and then they would just chain him to a desk somewhere. They could never figure out how to have the neck connect to the body. And so they would just cover it up with a necktie. That's why if you watch Fred Flintstone or Yogi Bear or any of those characters, they've all got a necktie on because none of the animators were smart enough to figure out how to draw it like a one contiguous line.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really know what contiguous even means, by the way. I'm throwing that word out and hoping that nobody notices it. It is a word.
It was pronounced correctly, and that's all.
I said it convincingly and with flair, and that's all that matters, you bastards. When you watch a Charlie Brown Christmas and they're doing that thing like in a Hanna-Barbera cartoon where they're skating and it's like the same tree going by endlessly in the background. Did you ever do this too? When you were a kid, you'd watch a Hanna-Barbera cartoon, and this used to frustrate me all the time. I was strangely linear about all of this stuff when I was a kid. That you could watch a Hanna-Barbera cartoon, and even by like the age of three, you could tell what things in any given scene were going to move and what things were not. Like, you could tell what items would be static throughout the entire cartoon and what items would be moving around. And it used to infuriate me when I was a child. For some reason, it just made me angry beyond words. That I could already peg certain objects within the plot of the cartoon as being immobile. Which is the sort of thing that really indicates how messed up I was, because that shouldn't make you angry when you're a child. You know, when you're 4 years old, you shouldn't be there seething with rage in front of a Hanna-Barbera cartoon because there's like a rock in the background that Fred and Barney aren't able to pick up. The whole thing just is just bizarre. Well, how did I even get started on this? Hanna-Barbera, Charlie Brown Christmas. Well, whatever. Anyway, but then Charlie Brown Christmas, the other thing is they have these long musical numbers and then big stretches of time where, like, it seems like the characters just sit around and blink at each other.
Uh-huh.
You know? Oh, Charlie Brown, I'm a big bundle of neuroses with a blanket. I don't know how to love, Linus. And then they just stare at each other for an uncomfortably long... And then Lucy comes along and punches somebody in the face. And then they go to a commercial break. It's no all of the other reindeer. That's all I'm going to say. All right. Well, and there you go. It's 503-733-2970.
Oh, great.
It's so great to be back in the studio.
It's a great way to kill 25 minutes.
I feel like...
Seriously, I don't remember anything from the past 25 minutes.
I feel like
I remember the necktie.
Well, back it's less filling.
In the groove here. No, I feel like I'm back home. I feel like today I've got my zing
maybe
back.
You're in the groove is different than what we think is in the groove.
This is not like your earth groove.
Let's break.
All that matters is I get to take off my hat tomorrow. That's what matters.
Yeah.
What are you going to shudder?
Thanks. I needed that. Thank you very much. My self-esteem, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, back after this, we will begin everything around the corner. Scotty, let's take some callers right now, actually. We will take callers 5, and we'll take 6 as like a backup. Callers 5 and 6 right now at 503-733-2970. And we'll do a finish that cheesy butt rock 80s lyric if our House of Midnight passes. The Rick Emerson Radio Program. You stay right there. Don't go anywhere. All right. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program, and then somebody sent me a bunch of this. Because I had mentioned like a week ago or so ago, and I never did get to it. Surprise. Somebody had sent me this Slang Terms of the 90s article, which is a bunch of crap that I've never heard. It was stuff that I lived in. I mean, I lived in the 90s. Not like I was 50 years old. I mean, I was still a young person. I still have my youth in the 90s. And I never heard any of these terms. And so I mentioned that, and I never got to it. But then in response, somebody, and because we were playing all the 80s music for the last couple of days, somebody sent me this, this complete compendium of 1980s slang. God, the 80s were a stupid decade. And I remember using some of these, like, as a very young person, because everybody did. Here's what you never had to live through, Sarah. You never had to live through people at your school using the phrase, barf me out. God damn. Have you ever even heard that before?
No.
Yeah, see, everybody who's my age.
No, I remember the ridiculous 90s phrases, though.
See, okay, really? Really? That's a bold statement. Okay.
So are you going to say the phrase and I'll tell you what it means?
Yes, I will do that. And then we'll get these callers here. We'll do this. Finish the bad butt rock 80s lyric for House of Midnight tickets. We'll do that. And then we have Bob Costantini coming up. And by the way, we'd speculated about who was going to be taking over for Gary Baumgarten. But today, at least, there is nobody from New York. They don't have anybody filling in. So I'm going to be curious to see who it is that they replace him with. But we got Bob Costantini coming up. Today, later on, and then we got the Jim Roop. Clyde Lewis going to be here as well. Also, Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. All right, let's see here. Terms of the 90s, slang of the 90s. Let's see, and this is from InTheNineties.com. All right, I will read you the word or phrase. You tell me what it means.
Okay.
Blazed. Verb, state of being. Blazed.
Hi.
Yes, it is. If you ask someone, quote, this is written by a white man. If you ask someone, quote, yo, wanna go get blazed, end quote, you are asking them if they want to go smoke marijuana with you. All right, how about this? Bama, apostrophe, B-A-M-A, Bama.
A slang term for Alabama?
Well, I suppose technically. That's not how they're using it here. They're using it in a more generalized sense.
I don't know, like hick?
Yes. They're very good. Now, is that a guess, or did you know that phrase?
Oh, I knew it.
Sarah Dillon knew it. Step off.
I remember we used the word fresh a lot.
Really? Did you with a P-H?
No, F-R-E-S-H. We would say everything instead of it was cool, it was fresh.
Use it in context now. Please recreate one of those moments.
Wow, I really want to buy that shirt. That shirt's fresh. It's so lame.
Oh, no.
It was when I was in Seattle, too. Nobody ever said it on Whidbey Island or Brentwood.
Because they weren't cool on Whidbey Island. They weren't hip like you were. How old were you when you were saying that?
It was like 6th and 7th grade.
Well, you're allowed. Yeah. To be retarded. All right, let's see. All right. Some of these I'm actually steering away from because I don't even know what they mean, and I'm afraid that they might be inadvertently profane. Let's see. How about this? How about bonus? B-O-N-U-S. Bonus. And please just keep your lewd observations to yourself.
Is it lewd?
That's no, kind of no, it is not. Although it is primarily used, I'm only asking you this one because it's primarily used in the UK, but you are a continental type, so I figured you might know it. Generally used in the United Kingdom.
Yeah, I don't know.
Bonus, used interchangeably with bargain. This is a slang term from the 90s. Apparently it is sarcasm, generally used in the United Kingdom, used interchangeably with oh for God's sake. So there you go.
So you want me to know 90s slang from the UK?
All right. Gank.
To steal something.
How do you know that? Really?
Yeah.
I've never heard that in my life. Gank. And you, without even blinking, you answered that. G-A-N-K. Gank. To steal. Example, quote, I ganked these shoes from the mall.
Gank sounds like some sort of a like a cream-like infection you would get in a fold in your body. You know? I got some gank underneath my arm.
Some skank gank.
Skank gank.
Oh. That sounds like Wenatchee banana.
I got a shower. I'm covered in skank gank. That's fantastic. Okay. Let's see. Let's do one more here. I'm not going to ask you what hit means.
That means to sleep with, right?
Yes. To have sex with. Example, quote, please, girl, let me hit it.
Oh, God.
End quote. All right. Let's see. These are all about to. These are all about to. Okay, how about this? Luncheon. L-U-N-C-H-N, apostrophe. I'm missing at least one of their apostrophe there. Luncheon.
Luncheon?
Verb.
I don't know.
Verb. Messing around. Acting crazy. Example, quote, dude, we were hanging out at the mall and totally luncheon.
I have never heard
end
that.
End quote. How
ever.
About this? How about off the heezy?
Oh, off the hook. That's crazy.
Yes. Otherwise known as unbelievable or different. All right, there you go.
Okay. Do we have people waiting for the contest?
Apparently also in the East Coast, they don't say ugly, they say oogly. As in, she's so ugly, she's oogly, which I'm going to adopt. I'm going to bring that back starting right now.
Fugly.
Fugly is really
Fugly's
great.
Fugly's my favorite.
You got to be careful, though. You got to be careful. You can't say that when you're drunk or tired. thank you, Scotty. Scotty's informing us that tight is the new fresh. Thank you, sir. All right. Let's see. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, Jason. Hello.
Oh, yeah.
Hi. I'm sorry. Did I wake you?
Yeah.
He's blazed.
Yeah, you're all, something. Snap. No. Okay, well, whatever. I was looking for a 90s term for... Hey, hello, sir. All right, are you ready to play Finish That 80s Butt Rock Lyric for House of Midnight Tickets?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, how old are you?
34.
You're right in the wheelhouse, you're right in the demo. If you miss these, it brings shame upon your entire family, and you'll have no choice but to stay inside your home out of embarrassment for the rest of your life, okay? No pressure.
Okay.
Okay. Now, because Rick Emerson cares, I will actually give you two bands to choose from. You can either finish a lyric by Bon Jovi, or you can finish a lyric by Poison. Choose and perish.
Poison.
All right. All right. You must now then be finishing this lyric by the rock band Poison off their 1989 album, Open Up and Say Ah. Please to finish the following lyric. Now she found herself in the fast lane, living day to day. Yeah. I'll even give you the song. It's from Fallen Angel. I'll sing it one more time. This is from the song Fallen Angel. Poison. Open up and say ah. Now she found herself in the fast lane, living day to day. Yeah. You got
what's
enough.
Wrong with the night of sin? How's that?
What's wrong with the night of sin? What is that even from? That's now. See, now it's see, and the student becomes the teacher. Now you've turned it around. What is wrong with the night of sin? Hold on. That no, you're thinking rock me like a hurricane. God damn, we're lame. So what is wrong with a night of sin? Yeah, boy, that's the worst song ever. No, sir. I'm sorry. Sorry, all you are right. You lose, Jason.
Thanks.
All right, but thank you.
Thanks.
All right, there you go. Let's do one more here. Dave, hello.
Hey, Rick, what's up, buddy?
All right, how old are you, Dave?
38.
All right, let's see. You may choose between Bon Jovi and Kiss.
Ooh, you gotta do the Jove.
Okay, the Jove. Or as we used to say comically in high school, thinking we were being hilarious, Bon Jovi. Bon Jovi was the Tarjay of its time. All right, here we go. Bon Jovi. I'm sorry, the Jove. Please now to finish the following lyric by Bon Jovi from their 1988 album, New Jersey. Ooh. All right, here we go. Only God would know the reason, but I bet he must have had a plan.
Damn you, Emerson.
What, damn me? Somebody, even Sarah knows it. Sarah's 19.
Bastard. Shoot it one more time.
All right, here we go. I'll even give you the song. And this song, and giving it a title is a big hint to the lyric, by the way.
You'll know it. You'll know it.
This is from the album New Jersey, the song Born to Be My Baby by Bon Jovi. Only God would know the reason, but I bet he must have had a plan.
You were born to be my baby, I was born to be your man?
Yes!
All right, there you go. You got to sing it, though.
You do not want to hear that.
You got to sing. Dude, did you hear me just now?
Because you were born to be my baby, and I was born to be your man.
That's so wrong.
Yeah.
That's not even approaching the melody, but fantastic, sir. Well done. All right, my friend, you're going to win a pair of tickets to House of Midnight.
Use them. It's awesome.
Houseofmidnight.com to find out more. All right, there you go, Dave. Thank you. All right, there you go. Fantastic. That's Dave. We'll do that again later, because I think we got two more pair of those.
Oh, now I want to listen to that song. I haven't heard it
in a really
great
song. See, and I don't have my jukebox with me, or I would play it. I really would. My MP3 player is sitting at home. That's a great song. Born to Be My Baby is a fantastic song. One of the best songs they ever did. And I mean that sincerely, and if anybody doesn't like Bon Jovi, you can just spare me the snippy emails about it. It's also, frustratingly enough, not on their 1994 compilation Crossroad, the best of Bon Jovi.
I bought that when it came out.
And Born to Be My Baby is not on there. So I was then, that's why the MP3 revolution had to happen. I was then obliged to create my own custom CD in which I took Crossroad and then added in Born to Be My Baby, which is a great song. I saw the video for that just the other day, actually, in VH1 Classic, and I've seen the video in, like, 15 years. And it's got that, and the video, they do that thing, speaking of which, we got to talk about the video cliches. We never got to that yesterday. But the video, they do that great thing where they're trying to pretend as though you are hearing a live recording of the song, because they get up to the chorus, and then they have, like, and they're in the studio, you know, like rocking out, and they're in their sort of like dressed down look where they've just got like their regular t-shirts on because they're in the studio working hard to lay down the rock for the people. And they get up to the chorus, you know, where they do that build, that dun 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 dun, because you were, and they get about three words in, and they're like, John calls a stop to the whole operation because he feels they could do better, and it, which they don't, which is a gag that Bon Jovi did like four times in their career, like four different songs. John would step in. It's not loud enough. We need to rock even harder. And then they take the chorus again. Sarah Dillon, can you name one of the other songs in which John Bon Jovi himself stepped in during the track and announced to the band they were not rocking hard enough? Go.
I have no idea. Are you talking about the videos?
Well, in the song, are you familiar with the song Bad Medicine?
Yes.
Because at the end, he does that whole thing where I wish I had it.
To a halt. I know.
I wish I had Bad
I wish
Medicine
my computer played music. We all want different things.
You know... We all want stuff. Actually, I think I do have Bad Medicine here. Hold on. Let's see if I've got it. Because, you know, we're not doing anything. It's not like we got to talk about, like, world events. Not like I got piles and piles of things to get to here. Let me see if I can get Bon Jovi's Bad Medicine here. No, but thank you. Wait. Oh, wait. Here we go. Let's see here. Is this Bad Medicine? Yeah. Da-da-da. It's fantastic. All right. Well, maybe not. I have to get out to the break. But Bad Medicine has this great moment at the end where the band is trying to fade out. Like, they're done with the song. They feel that they've rocked all that they need to rock. And John starts exhorting them with a, wait a minute, I'm not done. You know, we got to go again one more time with feeling. I mean, it's just like the worst thing you've ever heard in your life. But it really is. It is fantastic. All right, so there you go. All right, it's 503-733-2970.
The Bobster should be calling.
I'm going to get to, we're going to hear from Bob Costantini in a second. And it means it's just as well, though, because I got to get to this thing here. I got to get to a couple of these stories which have been piling up. Oh, and I mentioned this going into the break, but today, thanks, sweet holy God, this is the last day I got to wear the hat. After today, because I have to tell you this right now, and I know this is radio, it's an oral medium, so most of you haven't had to see me, but if you see that picture that's on my webpage of me at Aaron's wedding where I was having to wear, like, the Stetson, like the Frank Sinatra, it's because I couldn't show the top of my head, because it's been all hideous. So today, I'm going to be revealing the top of my head to everybody in the studio at the end of today's program. No, you're going to see it. Well, because you're going to see it on Monday anyway, because I'm done, baby. This is because I got, would you like to know, because here's the thing. Is that I have been unable to get my hair cut for the last 2 weeks since I had the medical hair restoration, the operation done. And so you're unable to get a haircut, obviously, because your hair is very, you know, sort of it's recovering. It's a little tender. But they did this thing where they gave me like a reverse mohawk because they actually have to be able to access the top of your head to do the procedure. So what the guy did is, and they're very savvy about the way they do this. Because I've had a lot of people ask me questions about medical hair restoration and about how the procedure is done. And the thing is, they give you a bunch of Valium beforehand, which is great because then you just don't even care. Because if he had told me beforehand, look, I got to shave your head. Like if some guy just wants to come up and shave your head, you're going to think long and hard about that. If a guy gives you a bunch of Valium and then says he wants to shave your head, it doesn't matter to me. Shave anything. I got to shave this too. It doesn't matter. You're shaving everything is fine. So he loads me up on the Valium. They strap me into the chair. I got the Pink Floyd rolling. I'm staring blankly out the window onto Puget Sound or whatever. And he's like, we're going to need to shave your head. And I'm just like, fine. And so they take it all the way down. And so I have this 6-inch wide, the middle of my scalp, basically, which is like all the way down to the bottom. But, of course, they didn't trim the sides. And then you can't get a haircut for 2 weeks. So now I've got this, like, mad scientist Christopher Lloyd.
You're like a grown-out, like, monk haircut?
I have this all, Marty, the Libyans are after me for the plutonium! I totally look like I look like Doc Brown from Back to the Future. But I can finally get a haircut tomorrow. Here's the three things that are going to be happening, because then everybody wants to know about the what's going on with Rick's scalp. Here's the three things that are going to happen. Tonight, I have this big... you have a mouthful of food? Great.
No,
I have this big suture in the back of my head. Well, no, because hair doesn't grow on trees. I get it from somewhere. It's fine. You wouldn't even notice it. So if you look at my head from the back, you wouldn't even be able to see it. Because it's covered by the other hair. But because Laura's a nurse, I don't have to go, because normally they just send you to some, like, one of those little doc in the box places, the little clinic, and you give them like $20 and they take the suture out. But because Laura's a nurse, she's going to do it herself, so Laura's going to be like taking the big suture out of the back of my head. So that, and then I get a haircut tomorrow, finally. And so because my hair is so short on top and it's so long and ragged on the sides, I'm just going to have them take it all down to that one length. So I'm going to look like Jeff McGinley tomorrow. I'm just going to have the full on buzz cut after my haircut. But then I'm going to come into work hatless. Because it's not like I dress up to come into work. But, I mean, I don't... But by the same token, you know, I don't typically just dress like a frat guy either. But here's one of life's true lessons, kids. Here's a little thing you can say you learned from the Rick Emerson Show. That there is no look that is even remotely business-like a professional that then works with a baseball cap. It's just not... So it's like last night, Laura, God bless her heart, we got some stuff back from, like, from the cleaners, the dry cleaning. It's like, look, I laid out your favorite, like, button-up, like, Kenneth Cole shirt. You'll look all snazzy tomorrow. So I get all dressed up, and then you put on, like, a hat that says, like, you know, the Butt Rangers World Tour, you know, or whatever, and it's just, it all goes to hell. So what am I wearing today? Same thing I've been wearing for 2 weeks, jeans and a black T-shirt. Which it's fine, except that eventually, it's just going to start looking at you like you're the janitor or something. So on Monday, I will come in hatless. Hatless, very short hair. The hair's going to be very short, yeah. Very short, hatless, and then like actually dressed normally again for once. Oh, do I have the... You know, the extended version of this video is fantastic because it's got Sam Kinison in it. Sam Kinison, and there was like some rule that he had to appear in every music video made by these guys in the 80s. Them and the Motley Crue. This is a great song. It really is. And I don't care whether we're still in that period of time where 80s music is sort of ironically loved by hipsters or not. It doesn't matter. Friends come, friends go. This is a great song.
Medicine.
Listen, I got to skip forward here so you can hear the big ending, and then we'll break. Oh, for the love of God. Oh, and this isn't even the right version. This version doesn't even have the ending I'm talking about. Oh, it's so frustrating. All right, back after this, it's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. You sit there.